Whereas the other 11 on Easter Sunday, we will see they are not afraid to be in the presence of the one whom they have betrayed, of the one whom they have crucified, of the one whom they have lied about and lied to. They will not be afraid to be in his presence. As St. Teresa of the Child Jesus said, if I was guilty of all the sins of all time and all the sins of all men, and they were all my sins, I would not be afraid to come into the presence of the divine love. I would not hesitate to bring all of these evil sins of the whole world, which I am responsible. I would not hesitate to set them before his divine love. And yet Judas, in his foolish pride, refuses. I am not your friend. I am not your God. In the beginning of the supper, he said, you call me master. I am your master. But now that Judas is gone and he has celebrated the Mass, I told you before I was your master, but now you are my friends. Now we cannot be friends with a master. And yet we are. We are his equal. We are his subjects. How can this be? It is only possible with God. And it is only possible because of his infinite love. The apostles do not understand. But will he hold back speaking about his love? If only I could give you the joy now, I would. But you cannot yet understand the joy that is in my heart, says Jesus Christ to his apostles. How can he speak of joy as he is walking to his death? Then Andrew would speak of that joy, as we've mentioned before, and we'll mention again. St. Andrew said, O beloved cross, how long have I awaited you? How long have I sought for you? With regard to this repetition, for instance, frequently I tell the story of St. Andrew. St. Jerome says, let me repeat the words of love. For do you not repeat bad jokes? Do you not repeat foolish stories? Do you not repeat evil words? Then at least allow me to repeat words of love. Let me repeat the stories of joy. Give me that allowance, and so I will repeat. Such are the words of St. Jerome. Here Christ once again speaks of his divine love. And then he speaks of the world. The next subject about which he will talk at this Last Supper. We are now in the chapter 15 of the Gospel of St. John. He will use the word hate 7 times, says St. Bishop Sheen. 7 times he will use the word hate, and it is going to be in reference to the world. If the world hates you, says Jesus Christ, he has now spoken about the divine love. He has spoken about joy. He has spoken about love. He has spoken about how they are going to be his friends. And now, after speaking of love, he will speak of hate. If the world hates you, be sure that it has hated me before it learned to hate you. If you belong to the world would know you for its own, and the world would love you. It is because you do not belong to the world, because I have singled you out from the midst of the world, that the world hates you. And 5 more times he will use the word. In chapter 17, our Lord will say his prayer. At least read the prayer of our Lord in chapter 17. It's not a very long prayer. But during the midst of that prayer, he says, all the things that he prays for his apostles, he prays for his church, He prays for the sinners. He prays for every possible thing. But then he stops in the middle and he says, I pray not for the world. There is enmity between Christ and the world. The world is preparing to come to crucify him. The mob has got their swords and their clubs, and they are coming up to the top of the mountain. They will gather him up. They will take him to crucifixion. After he has been crucified, they will strike their breasts, and they will say, indeed he was the Son of God. And then they will continue to crucify him until they are damned. They will vacillate between the emotion of love and the emotion of hate, but they will never change their will, only their emotions. And they will follow whoever the strongest man is at the time. Christ was popular on Palm Sunday. They threw palms before his feet. He was unpopular on Good Friday. They said, let him be crucified. They are fickle. When he was popular and made no demands upon them, they loved him. But when they saw the cross, they despised him. How fickle is our love of Jesus Christ? Know that the world has hated me before it hates you. And if the world hates you, it will hate you because of me. The world hates the church. It hates the priests. And it hates the church, and it hates the priests, and it hates the faithful soul because of Christ. Like Don Basilian, a man that died about 11 years ago, just a layman, used to describe how he would visit his brother. His brother was living in the second marriage. Don would visit his brother, and he would never speak about the faith, which his brother was no longer practicing. He would never say anything about the second wife. He was always a cheerful man. He would speak about the weather, he would speak about the sports, he would speak about whatever his brother wanted to speak about. And they would talk late into the night, and always about 11:30, he would say. In the middle of their conversation about whatever the subject was, whether it be sports or the weather or whatever it might be, nothing to do with religion, his brother would say, you think I'm bad, don't you? Just because I'm living in a second marriage. Well, have you know the first marriage? The first woman was terrible, and I think there's nothing wrong with my marriage, and I can't believe you sitting there with that smirk on your face. We were talking about the weather. I never once brought up a bad marriage. I wasn't even thinking about it. The only time I think about you is in my prayers. And he was angry. Evil cannot stand the face of goodness. It hates it. Sin cannot stand innocence. For innocence must be crucified, says Bishop Sheen. He who is innocent is despised because he is innocent. Which of you can convict me of sin, says Jesus Christ? And they cannot convict him. And for this reason, he must die, because he is a reproach to the people. He is lily white. He is perfect. I cannot stand to look upon him. We will read about the very first martyrdom in the Acts of the Apostles. Saint Stephen, the deacon. He spoke beautiful words. He was inspired by the Holy Ghost. He spoke of the things of God. And it is said in the martyrdom of St. Stephen, and the people stopped up their ears, and they screamed with a loud voice, lest they hear his beautiful words. And with great haste they pulled Stephen out, and they threw him in the midst of the crowd, and they stoned him to death. And while they were stoning him, they screamed and they yelled at the top of their lungs, so that they would not hear his beautiful words. They could not stand the innocence of Stephen. They could not stand the truth of his voice. It is for this reason that Judas left the supper. He could have waited until the end, but he couldn't tolerate the voice of the divine Savior. He could no longer tolerate the voice of innocence and the voice of truth. He was following the father of lies, and he was in the midst of the guilt of his sin. And so he got up and made some excuse and went out of the supper. And so it is with us. When you stand in the face of innocence, see your guilt. But the world doesn't want to see its guilt. The world refuses its guilt. The world thinks it's fine the way it is. This is the spirit of the world. I love my second wife. I go to PTA meetings with my kids as they are learning about damnation. And as they are learning about sin, and as they are learning about the various ways in which they can easily go to hell, at least I go to PTA meetings. I'm a good person. I am faithful. Such is the way of the world. The world has hated me, says Jesus Christ. Know that it also shall hate you. Seven times hatred and the world. They claim that they love. It claims that it cares. Every religion is okay in our America. Doesn't matter. As long as you make no demands upon the world, as long as there is not the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is the next subject. We're running late, but we'll continue. The Holy Ghost is the next subject about which Christ shall speak. He first spoke about his joy and the divine love after the departure of Judas. He called them his friends and his equals. He spoke about how he wanted to be immersed in all of us. I am the vine and you are the branches. He speaks about the hatred of the world. Know that the world shall hate you, and the time shall come when they shall put you to death, thinking that they do a service to God. The time is coming when anyone who puts you to death will claim that he is performing an act of worship to God. I have told you this, so that when the time comes for it to happen, you may remember that I have told you. And I tell you this now. I have said this to you, so that in me you can find peace. We often make the mistake of trying to find peace in the world. St. John will tell us in his epistle, or St. James will tell us in his epistle, the lovers of the world are the enemies of Christ. Do you not know that if you are a lover of the world, you are an enemy of Christ? We will see in the Epistle of St. James, we will see in the Epistle of St. John, we will see in the Epistle of St. Peter, how these words of Christ struck deep into them. And each of them will speak in commentary about these words. St. James in his epistles, St. Peter and St. John. It is a good thing to suffer unjustly, says St. Peter, for it was the way of Christ. It is nothing to suffer justly. When we deserve to suffer, then we deserve to suffer. But if we suffer unjustly, this is a great thing. And we see in the Acts of the Apostles chapter 5, for the first time the apostles were arrested and they were thrown in prison by the world. And they were hated by the world. And they were told, do not speak of him anymore. If you speak of him anymore, we will not just put you into the prison, but we may even put you to death. And they came out of prison, and it says, and there was great rejoicing for that they could suffer something for Christ. They were so happy that the world hated them. For they listened to Christ's words about the world. I say this to you, that you be not discouraged when the world hates you. Be not discouraged when the world tries to destroy you, as the world is attacking our church today. And the world speaks of all the homosexual priests. And they speak of all the departures from this faith. And they speak about the hatred of Jesus Christ. And it is illegal to show his creche in the public. His cross is offensive. There is a great hatred of the church. Let not this be a discouragement. For if the world did not hate the church, and if the world did not hate Jesus Christ, and if the world did not hate the priest, then there's something wrong with the church, with Jesus Christ and the priest. We must rejoice that our church suffers. For it is the only way in which the world can be redeemed. We rejoice. As we are the enemies and the persecuted ones. You know, you can't come to Mass here because we're not approved. Know this, Jesus Christ was not approved. He was not approved by Caiaphas, who was the Pope of the Old Testament. He was not approved by the priests and the scribes. He was not approved by the wise men and the Pharisees. He was not approved by the world. Beware of being approved. It is not the way of Christ. And I say these things to you that you may have peace. They will excommunicate you. They will put you to death. They will cast you out of the synagogue, thinking they do a service to God. But you must have peace. And then the Holy Spirit, the next subject. And when Christ speaks of the Holy Ghost, he had spoken many times before of his Father. But now he will speak of the Paraclete, the Consoler. He is called the Paraclete, the Consoler. He is the one who will fill our hearts with the understanding and the love of the cross. Without the Paraclete, there is no hope for us. He would say to Philip, when he would speak about the beauty of the Father earlier on in the Last Supper, Philip would say, "Oh, Lord, show us the Father. We want to see the Father." And our Lord would say, "Philip, how long must I be with you? How long must I suffer you? Do you not know that he who sees me sees the Father? And every action of the Son is the Father. Every miracle is the Father. Every word is the Father. Every movement is the Father. No one can see Jesus Christ without seeing the Father." And now we look a little deeper. And let us look at the Holy Ghost. Our Lord saves him for the end. For the Holy Ghost is the heart. We say of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, the Father generates the Son. The Son is the product of the generation of the Father. And the Father gives all that he is to the Son. And the Son gives all that he is to the Father. And what is given is the gift. And what is given is love. And what is given is God. And St. John would say, Deus caritas est. God is charity. God is love. St. John will be the apostle the closest to the Holy Ghost. Because he's the apostle of love. And when we enter into the heart of Jesus Christ, we find only the love of the Holy Ghost, the love that is God. And now he speaks of the Holy Ghost. He has spoken about the hate of the world. The world knows nothing of the Holy Ghost. And yet the world will say, "We long for the time of the Holy Ghost." Why does the world long for the time of the Holy Ghost? Because they believe the Holy Ghost is love, separated from a cross. This kind of love the world can accept. But our Lord will say to his apostles, You have never seen the Holy Ghost. You cannot understand the Holy Ghost until I am dead. For my heart has not yet been pierced with a lance. It has not yet been opened. I have not yet shed every drop of my blood. And only when the last drop of blood has come out of my heart can the Holy Ghost go forth. He's locked up inside of my heart. And he cannot be seen, he cannot be understood, he cannot be felt until I have shed every drop of my blood, until the lance has pierced my side. Then only can the Holy Ghost come forth. You would not want me to stay, says the Father, says Jesus Christ to his apostles. What good is it for me to stay if you do not receive the Holy Ghost? Lord, we want you to stay. We don't ever want you to leave. It is most meet for you that I go. For if I do not go, the Paraclete cannot come. He is locked up in my heart. He is my heart. All of my words are spoken only in obedience to the Father. All of my actions are living out His will, especially the action by which I will die upon the cross. And now we see the wisdom of our Catholic custom. We do not begin any prayer without saying in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Notice that when we make that sign, it is in the sign of the cross. We will never come to the Father without the Son, without the Holy Ghost. And we will note that they have never been separated from the cross. Why is it that the Trinity is not explicitly explained and adored in the Old Testament, although we find the Trinity in the Old Testament? The Jews could not understand Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, though they did believe in it, but it was vague to them. It is only the crucifix that clarifies Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It is only the crucifix that pulls them together. Now he speaks of the Holy Ghost. I will give you a new heart. It is the heart that is locked up inside of my divine body. You hear the words of the heart. You feel the heartbeat, St. John, as you put your head next to my heart. But it is not yet in you. That's why you're going to betray me in a few hours. All 12 of you are going to run away from me because of fear. But when you receive the new heart of the divine love of the Holy Ghost, you will never experience fear ever again. And you will have a joy that no man can take from you. You will be consoled by the cross. And when we are consoled by the cross, nothing can disturb us. And so he speaks of the love of the Holy Ghost. I will make my spirit penetrate you so that you will follow in the path of my law. You will remember and carry out my decrees, says Ezekiel. Only when the Holy Ghost has entered us, when the Paraclete has come in. Then he will speak about what the Paraclete is going to do to the world and why the world hates the Paraclete. He will convict the world of sin, of justice, and of judgment. It is the breath. St. Bonaventure will say, or Bishop Sheen will explain, not directly from St. Bonaventure, but St. Bishop Sheen will say, the priest swings the thurible of incense. And the incense is a sacred odor that is the delight of the saints. But it is a deadly perfume. And it is a stench that the enemies of God cannot stand. It will kill them. It will cause them to flee. It will bring sorrow to their minds, to their hearts, and to their stomachs. They cannot bear the smell of the incense of the Holy Ghost. The just cannot get enough of the same smell. He will convict the world of justice, of sin, of justice, and of judgment. The Holy Ghost breathes fire upon the earth. And the real Holy Ghost, the one that can never be separated from the cross, he is the one that breathes forth fire and brimstone against the world. He is the one that condemns it. And at the same time, consoles the just. It is because of the Holy Ghost inside of St. Stephen that they stop up their ears, for they cannot bear the sound of the Spirit. And so they will kill it. And then Christ walks to the Garden of Gethsemane. I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And he walks with the apostles to the Garden of Gethsemane. They are overwhelmed by the beauty of his words. They feel a touch of his joy, that great joy that they saw in him in the supper. They walk to the Garden of Gethsemane, newly ordained priests with the oil of the priesthood upon their hands, thinking that Judas is so exuberant with love that he is going out already to do the will of the Father. They don't understand. They don't love as much as Judas. Judas is going out to do good. Judas is going out to feed the poor. The love of God has so filled him that he must go into action. They are tired. They only know to stay next to their master. And yet our Lord would say of Mary Magdalene, she has chosen the better part. Many a priest and many a man of God has left the supper of the Lord with good intentions, has left to go out and do good. Bishop Sheen describes speaking to a social worker in the early 1970s. Says, what happened to all the soup kitchens? And the social worker said, well, you know, in the late 60s after Vatican II, all of the nuns came and the priests came and they opened up soup kitchens and they were going to feed the poor and they gave themselves. And it's been now 5 years since they have done this. And Bishop Sheen says, where are they now? Well, they all left. They all quit. Hundreds of thousands of sisters left the sisterhood in those few years. Hundreds of thousands. Thousands of priests left the priesthood. They were going out to do good. They were going to make the world a better place. But they found lust. They found wealth. They found despair. When you go out to do good, says Bishop Sheen, and you carry not the divine love in your heart, and you are not close to that tabernacle, know that you will meet disappointment. Know that you will meet despair. And in that state of despair, you will drop all things good. I no longer believe in Christ, said one of the priests that left the priesthood. I no longer believe. I tried it. Nobody cares. We must never leave the tabernacle. We must never leave the divine heart. Here we are huddled around Christ as he sits at the table of the Lord. Here we hear is the words of divine love. And they are the only words of salvation. Let us remain close to those words. Let us ask the joy of Christ enter into our hearts. And his joy does not come without fire, the fire that is the Holy Ghost, and the fire that consumes us in the cross. And then we will walk with Christ to the Garden of Gethsemane. We will contemplate again during the Mass. It is late. We'll say the Rosary after the Mass. But I'll go right away to Vesper Mass, and then there will be a sermon during the Mass. And so God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.